Welcome to the Culture and Leadership Connections podcast. If your job involves working with or influencing people's behavior, this podcast offers invaluable insights into what makes people tick. Through personal interviews that are thoughtful and surprising, we explore the full range of the roots to people smarts that can help you make or break your own career. My name is Marie Gervais, and with a PhD in culture and learning in the workplace and my own cultural journey, I bring the mysteries of human beings at work around the world to you. Through conversations with very diverse people, examining the groups they were born into and the ones they chose to belong to, my podcast takes a deep dive into why people do what they do and how they belong. Hone your skills to manage others and to be a better human being at work with the Culture and Leadership Connections podcast. And now for today's episode. Hello, Culture and Leadership Connections podcast listeners. Today, I am very excited to present to you two outstanding people, Amit Ramlal and Dr. Kumar Ramlal. Amit Chintan Ramlal possesses a unique gift for helping leaders transform their challenges into opportunity. His own journey out of the autism maze helped him become an expert in the human mind and human achievement. He's a polymath with a vast knowledge base from reading over 14,000 nonfiction books and studying the works of the greatest thinkers and changemakers of all time. He integrates this knowledge with his unique insights to fulfill his desire of helping individuals discover and manifest their life's purpose. He is the co-founder of the Chintan Project with his father, Dr. Kumar Ramlal. Dr. Kumar Ramlal is an investor, an entrepreneur, a medical specialist, and a respected business advisor. He has a distinguished academic background and extensive practical experience. Together with his son, they help clients leverage their unique purpose and challenges for greater impact and specialize in helping clients solve their people problems. So I am really excited to interview both of you. And I'd just like to tell the Culture and Leadership Connections podcast audience that Amit doesn't have full voice capacity, and so he uses a reading card, which he types onto, and his father then speaks what Amit typed. So it'll be a really interesting interview for you to hear, and also you'll know that even though you're hearing Dr. Kumar speaking, sometimes he's speaking as himself and sometimes he's speaking as Amit, but you'll notice the difference because of the way that he talks. Did I get that right?
Yeah, Amit has got a way of explaining that, Marie, that might be helpful for your audience.
Thanks for having us on, Marie.
Thank you for having us on here. Amit, as you said, Marie, had autism that still affects his independent speech. So he types on a cardboard that's got the alphabet on it. We call it a 50-cent piece of laminated plastic card that has written thousands of pages of manuscript. So he'll explain how he uses it.
Sure. Go ahead, Amit.
Thank you very much for having us on. As you said, autism still affects my independent speech. And I type on this card and my dad reads what I am saying. I use this card, Marie, to help me speak, much as you use glasses to help you see.
That's wonderful to know. Thank you for explaining it.
When my dad sounds like a robot, that's him reading what I am typing.
Got it.
When he sounds half human, that's him speaking for himself.
I can tell this is going to be fun. So, tell the audience a little bit about both of you personally, just to give us some kind of a personal background, other than knowing that Amit has a great sense of humor.
So I had challenges, Marie, even before I was born. And those challenges helped me to understand some of the rules that govern this universe of ours, helped me to understand purpose and the purpose of challenge. But I'm sure we'll be talking more about that with our audience today. And Marie, for myself, I was impacted by growing up in a developing country, and we do not understand some of the gifts that we have living in North America. And where I grew up, you needed to be the right political party or the right race or the right religion or the right something to make your way up the climb. And my folks helped me to understand that one of the levers that moves this world is learning. And so the importance of learning has been with me for as long as I can remember. And I'm grateful that that's something that Amit has taken on for himself.
Ah, that's wonderful. I appreciate both of your introductions. And I am curious to find out from Amit, what are some of the rules of the universe that he discovered? And Amit, what is the purpose that drives you? Can you explain that a little bit more?
Absolutely. So I had a mass in my belly that was painful before I was born, as I said. And I started to think about this, that if I was here, there must be a reason, must be a purpose. While I hadn't yet heard of Albert Einstein, and while I hadn't yet heard his famous quote, "God doesn't play dice with the universe," in some strange way, from wherever it is that great ideas come from, it seemed I had happened on to that same wisdom, that this universe of ours is so efficient that nothing exists without a purpose, without a reason for being. And here is the necessary corollary. If nothing exists without a purpose, then it must necessarily mean that our challenges, because they exist, are purposed too.
That's beautiful. I love it. It's such a wonderful way to understand self in the context of the universe and the principle of purpose in everything, that every piece that we experience and that we live is necessary. It's there for a reason. It's not accidental.
Absolutely. And I don't argue this on the basis of religious belief, but on the efficiencies of this universe of ours, there being no duplicates.
Not even two snowflakes that are the same, or two raindrops that are the same.
Absolutely. And not only are no two snowflakes the same, but like us, no two snowflakes have the same story. And this story we tell ourselves about us or about our businesses, for example, are critical to how we conduct our lives and businesses, aren't they?
Yes, I agree. And I'm glad you brought up that question of story, because I was going to ask each of you to tell me something about your childhood that stands out for you as being formative.
Well, to continue with that mass, it was removed when I was 4 days old. And it turns out, despite the best efforts of an amazing medical team, I was not fully anesthetized.
You experienced the pain of that operation?
Yes. And when the pain of my innards being moved around was too much to bear, I turned to my inner strengths, the kind of strength that so many choose to ignore or to not attend to. And I have certainty that each of us have that inner strength to bring to bear to those challenges that are most important to us.
What was that inner strength that you turned towards at age 4 when you were experiencing the pain of that operation?
It was 4 days old.
4 days and, old. Yes, sorry.
And that inner strength is the one that allows moms to lift cars off their kids.
It's love.
That allow soldiers to run headlong into battle.
Love and courage.
Sometimes certain death.
Mm-hmm.
What it is that keeps us going is unique for each of us. For me, it is to help each individual find and follow their true calling that they may lead the world.
That's amazing that you started that journey of purpose at 4 days of age. Truly amazing.
And that is still what informs my work with clients today.
Yes, indeed. And Kumar, how about for you?
You know, when I was young, my dad left home to go study abroad. And I got to see how nothing was missing, how my mom played that role of mom and dad, how people showed up to pick me up when she couldn't get there to get me from school, how, you know, the fruit trees in our yard bore more fruit than anyone else in the neighborhood, that we might be able to sell it and pay for my dad's tuition. I think if we are humble enough to notice, we have access to all of the resources that we need, though sometimes it's not in the form that we might like, if that makes sense.
Yeah, perhaps it's right in front of our noses, but we don't see it.
I would argue that each of us has the perfect toolkit if we are humble enough to notice. We can share that so many companies we work with, they think they need monetary capital. So many of our clients, right, go looking for money, something that they need to sell in order to raise capital, when in fact, it is as though the money is frozen within their businesses.
Interesting.
The money is frozen within their businesses, and part of our job as advisors is, sure, we can help them by acquiring their business, but sometimes what they need is assistance in maximizing their value, in maximizing their service, in maximizing their rewards, right? What they get as a result of providing that service. And so one of the things that we might do for a company is that to help them maximize that value in preparation for an exit, is to shine the light on those areas where the money is frozen within their business. So they have assets that are not yet converted,
mm-hmm.
right? And so one of the things we do to maximize value is to help them precisely find that frozen cash. And then, just like shining light allows you to see, shining light also brings heat, if you will, brings energy to thaw that frozen cache.
Can you give me an example?
Okay. So a classic example would be someone that we spoke with last week who has access to 600,000 people who are hanging on his every word. And he does marketing for nonprofit organizations and has not figured out how to link those two ecosystems.
So what did you advise him?
So on Friday of last week, we helped him formulate a plan to merge those two ecosystems. And while we were on the call with him to make the first phone call to begin that process. Because, Marie, sometimes the challenge is what to do. Sometimes the challenge is how to do. Sometimes the challenge is how to get yourself to do what you know how to do and what there is to be done. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes total sense to me.
Yeah. And so it wasn't enough for this particular individual. For some of our clients, the what is plenty. For some of them, the how they need assistance with. And for some of them, they need a little bit of what is in the way to keep you from doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
This is why in your discussion topics list that you sent me, you say you help people with baggage handling for business owners. What's weighing them down? That's a great image.
So one of the ways we do help is with that baggage handling. Sometimes it is or it needs to start with recognizing that there is that baggage. We talked earlier about the story we tell ourselves about us and about our businesses. And part of how we shine light on frozen cash is by helping them reframe what it is they are facing.
I see. It's really interesting. I mean, I have a lot more questions to ask you about what you just told me, but let me go back to my typical questions because I'm also interested in finding out what groups you were born into that have influenced your sense of culture and self now, because we're all born into a context and that context surrounds and informs us. So could you each tell me something about that context you were born into and how it's influenced your development of culture and self as a leader?
Well, for me, at the time I was born, my dad was very much a practicing academic physician. And so the medical model was going to be how we solved my problem, so to speak, until my dad was told by a psychologist who had just completed an assessment of me, where he said the following to my mom and dad. You don't have to worry. He'd qualify for a teaching assistant in school. And my dad has said to me later, I am okay taking the road less traveled. And I am profoundly grateful for that.
It sounds to me, Amit, that what surrounded you was medical models and then hope and purpose. And you discovered you had great intellectual abilities that you were able to put into the world in a unique way. Am I on the right track?
I think so. To me, from that moment, came the lesson that if the road you're on isn't taking you where you'd rather be, change the path. My dad has a fancier way of saying that. So what he's talking about is that out of that same moment with the psychologist, I've said that the following way: I knew how this movie was likely to end. And if you don't like the movie, you change the script.
Yeah. We have unlimited potential as human beings, no matter what obstacles there are in the way. And from choosing to believe in that unlimited potential, you profoundly influenced Amit's future.
Yep. And the road less traveled has taken us into places we couldn't possibly have imagined. Because it is true that my wife and I were able to access resources to help Amit to learn to read. And this card, through which he has written, like I said, thousands of pages of manuscript. It is actually those writings that led to the formation of Chintan Project. Because found out what he was writing, and what he was writing was the equivalent of white papers.
Right.
So people found out about that and then started asking for it, then started paying for it, then started hiring us to work them through this. And I myself had experience building growing businesses and consulting in my own way. But what Amit brought was a different perspective around the certainty of purpose and the purpose of challenge. And what I was able to add was the certainty of our perceptions as playing a role. And so together we have merged our ecosystems into something that I don't think would be possible if one or the other of us were to be building this out individually. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. So, Kumar, you did have a background in investment and in academics and things like that. Those are cultural groups.
Academics for me
and
were
medical.
I mean, that was my toolkit, right?
Yeah.
Like I was told this was your ticket. In Guyana, South America, where I was born and grew up, we take an examination when we are about 10 years old that in a very significant way plots a trajectory for your life. And so that is one of those gates that opens or sometimes closes when you're 10, right?
Right.
My parents, my mom, I mean, she wasn't a single mom in modern day use of the terms, but my dad was off studying. And, you know, my folks decided that they'd pay for me to attend private school when they weren't quite sure how the next meal was going to come by.
Right.
So I had that value on learning. And something else that impacted me early on, that when I first started consulting, this was still at play. And I remember that I wanted to teach. And as a young kid, and my way of teaching wasn't by delivering the lecture, but by actually helping to solve problems. And I remember actually when we were first learning math, I would help my friends figure out how to solve the problem and then let them do the work.
Right.
I did this as a little kid.
Yeah.
And I had almost forgotten that that's what I did until someone reminded me years into our consulting career that that's actually how I used to do it, is that I'd figure out, and then from basic arithmetic math and counting and how you figure that out, when I was doing calculus and geometry, I'd figure out how they could make the bridge hold up and walk them through so that they could see what the process was, and then they could go off and do it. And in a strange way, I actually do that today.
Yeah, you can visualize the end product and how to get there, and then they can just go ahead and do it. But that happened because your parents really believed in you, and in the same way, you really believed in Amit, and you afforded him those opportunities of having someone in your court cheering you on.
There are always, and I am careful with absolutes, Marie. There are always people cheering you on. But sometimes, just like those other resources, we don't like the packaging.
That's
true. A parent or a neighbor or a coach who pushes, who sees in you what you haven't yet seen in yourself is, especially in our world today, an acquirer of many not so benign labels. Yet these are the makers of champions in many cases. I think that we have those cheerleaders, but we don't always notice.
That reminds me of a little story that somebody just told me the other day. She's an elderly woman and she does a lot of traveling. And whenever she reaches a place where she can't lift her suitcase, and she looks around and says, "Where are my angels?" And somebody immediately steps up and says, "Can I carry your suitcase for you?"
Nothing is missing.
True. So psychology typically explains personality as having two parts. One is temperament, which we're born with. And there's always the argument about whether we nurture it or if it is something that is just there naturally, but it's probably both. And then the other one is personality, where we overcome obstacles or don't overcome obstacles, and then that forms who we are on an ongoing basis. So personality always being fluid, temperament being less fluid. What would you say each of you were born with, and what have you added on to your personality?
I think that division might be fundamentally flawed, because intrinsic in each of us and in every interaction is some of us and some of the outside. There is always inside and outside stuff operating. And it takes willful blindness to not see those interactions. And willful blindness is common in so many fields of study, including psychology. For what about my life can I split out as born with versus acquired or nurtured?
Well, I have children, and from the time they're little, there are certain things that are characteristic of them. So, for example, I have two children who are very generous and two who are the opposite. And I have some that are very acute thinkers and others that are very acute feelers. And they brought that into the family. But then, of course, we're organic with the world. So we are always interacting with each other, with the world, with the environment. And so they may or may not have chosen to develop certain aspects of themselves depending on their own life choices. So I'm just wondering if there's something that you have honed as a result of going through all those books and all those years of experience and growing up in your family, Amit, that has brought you to the place where you are today.
If I may, it is true humility. I am willing to seek what is rather than what I'd rather it be.
Beautiful. How about for you, Kumar?
You know, I do have a challenge in splitting apart, though I might not be able to express it as eloquently as Amit did, sort of nature-nurture piece of this. But I believe that, you know how we talk about our challenges are purposed?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think actually how we view those challenges is unique to each of us. And I think that the set of lenses that we choose to wear for challenges is what leads to some of the different trajectories that we see. Let me see if I can explain that from the perspective of even as a young child. And this has changed over time, because I remember being a sob kid about how financially broke my family was, how my dad wasn't there, how, right? So I remember all of that stuff, which I think might be perceived as perfectly natural for a kid growing up in that circumstance.
Yes.
And if you will, if I were to stay with that perspective, it would be willful blindness.
Yes.
Because there were people who were stepping up, not least of which is my mom. And my dad, in his own way, by going off to study, that was his investment in the family, right?
Exactly.
And like for that lady with the suitcase, the people who showed up to help us reach the fruit that were too high in the trees for my mom or I to get to, they were purpose too.
Yes.
And they were toolkits that came from the places that toolkits come from. We were, to use Emmett's words, humble enough to notice. And so I think that some of what we take on or we might label ourselves is actually what we choose to look at. You know, like if you were to take the two kids that you say, well, maybe are not quite as generous, I promise you that if you were to look, you can find an area in their lives where they were very generous. And it might be very, very concentrated. It might be in teaching another kid video games.
Oh, yes.
So I think that that label we assign is limiting to your kids.
So yes, I'm just saying it's a jumping off point. For example, I was very outspoken, extroverted, and not afraid to challenge anything when I was a child. And as I grew older, I realized that that was not the best way to solve problems with people because you often alienated them and made them feel unsafe. And so I learned to be more patient and more diplomatic, but they didn't come to me easily and I still have trouble with them. And then in some circumstances, I just lost my voice entirely because I didn't know what to do. Whereas in the past, I would have certainly have spoken out. So I think that for me, those have been changes that I've noticed in myself. So rather than saying generally, I'm just looking more for some specific examples about how you feel you have transformed over time.
Well, I'll tell you for myself, one of our mentors, John DeMartini, whom both Emmett and I have studied a lot of his work, makes the case for what he calls traitology as opposed to typology. And I'll tell you what he means by that. What he means is that every human has every trait. And so one of the biggest ways that we have transformed is actually looking to see where we exhibit that behavior. In what form does that behavior exist for us? And we would argue that the behavior exists for each of us. So to take the example of extroversion or introversion. We wrote an article. I think one of the first that we posted on our website, where a client of ours was so extroverted about being an introvert that it was getting in the way of her progression in her academic career.
Yeah.
And in those days, we did more conventional human behavior consulting rather than what is much of what we do now with business owners. But our greatest contribution to her life was to help her see how extroverted she was for issues she really cared about.
Yeah, excellent example.
And helping her to channel her extroversion to those areas. And not to managing the clinic that she was being tasked with, so to speak.
Yes, yes. So can you recall a time when you felt that you experienced a cultural disconnect you know, when you're in a situation and you feel, well, this is the way I do things or the way I think about things, but it hits you that your experience may be coloring your own way of seeing things.
I've got the perfect one, I think. I was selected to be the cover story of a magazine. And I think I didn't quite know what the issue was about. But in response to a question from the editor, I said the following. I would be disgusted if I got a contract because of a checklist. And I did notice the horror in the editor's face. But I continued. And needless to say, she left it out of the article. It turns out the issue was dedicated to DEI. So there was definitely a clash of cultures between Amit and the article.
Yeah.
And the entire issue.
Yeah, I've had that clash with other DEI. When people get onto a soapbox, it sometimes gets to be a little bit blinding.
And for myself, in terms of culture mismatch, I run into this with the college that regulates, because I still practice, not nearly as much as I did before. So I did still practice medicine. And the college that regulates my medical practice has significant impact on the kinds of things I'm supposed to be able to say or not say.
Exactly.
In public.
Mm-hmm.
And I strongly disagree with that. But, you know, we each of us subordinates to various authorities in varying different ways. And so while I might disagree with it, I perhaps don't disagree with it enough to be entirely clear with my views in public. Right.
And perhaps so that's wisdom.
Cultures, right. Yeah. That's a clash of cultures.
Yeah.
And so there are conversations I would have with an individual, and I run a specialty practice. Almost 70% of the patients I see once and never again. And so I'd have conversations with them that I couldn't have publicly.
Right.
And if it came out, what the consequences would be. And each of us in our own ways lives with that culture clash, I would say, on a daily basis.
I agree.
Almost moment by moment basis.
Mm-hmm.
And I have therefore decided that what we call culture is in so many ways a subordination to some external authority. We might say subordination to a group, but rarely is it a group. There is some authority, someone to whom we have relinquished our own authority, who sets those rules. I find it fascinating for someone who is perhaps respectfully and honestly an independent thinker in many ways. Yet I too have my subordinations.
Well, if we want to be part of society, we will need to make some compromises. And if we love people in a family situation, for example, we sometimes say, this doesn't matter so much to me, and I can tell that it matters to you, so let's do it your way. Just because it's part of being a human being living with other human beings.
I will never drive, at least not a conventional car, because of my vision challenges. I am grateful that my parents and any drivers I have subordinate to the rules of the road.
I am too. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking today. Well, listen, we're reaching the end of the interview, and I'm wondering if this is the moment you would like to speak a little bit more about the Chintan Project and give the audience an idea a little bit about what you would like to promote.
Thank you, Marie. An hour in our work now, most of our clients are business owners. And we have a long track record of helping humans solve problems, leveraging our expertise in how we humans think and how we relate. It turns out that the greatest challenges become apparent at times of the greatest stress for our businesses. Those are typically at startup and at exit. Many are advisors at startup. We have found that the marketplace is most interested in us helping navigate the exit.
Can you explain that a bit more?
So we can help by acquiring businesses or acting as exit advisors so that the business owner gets maximal value for what they have invested in over so many years, or helping them grow so they can get the value they are after.
I see.
In simple terms, we say we help them love their business again or exit their business so they love their lives again.
Beautiful. I love it. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Our work is premised on the same laws that govern this universe of ours. So the same institute that helped Amit to read and to speak as he does has taught us the importance of working with nature as opposed to against it.
Mm-hmm.
And all that we do for our clients is help them leverage the things that we know work consistently, been demonstrated to work. Things like certainty of purpose. Why the heck are you doing this? Certainty in the purpose of challenge, and certainty that your perceptions, the stories they tell you about you and you about your business, have enormous impact on the trajectories that we are on. And that's what we work with. With those three simple tools, we help companies grow, exit, or we can help them by buying the companies also. Thank you very much for having us on with you today, Marie.
Thank you, Marie.
Oh, and thank you both for your insightful and really interesting conversation. When Amit was a baby struggling for his life, his father Kumar refused to accept the small restrictive vision for his son's future that was handed to him. Born with a mass in his stomach, vision and speech impediments, and autism, Amit certainly faced significant challenges. However, his gifts of absorbing and integrating large amounts of knowledge and applying abstract concepts to business problem solving proved to the world what his father Kumar had seen from the start. Together, they are an indomitable team, accomplishing much more together than either of them could have alone. It was amazing for me to see how quickly Amit pointed to the letters on his reading card in a way his father could speak the words. I greatly appreciated their complementary way of working together and enjoyed their message of purpose, hope, and humor as they approach solving business problems that are, as they say, beyond what HR can do in terms of helping people succeed. A few takeaways I have from this interview are: 1. The capacity of the human spirit to flourish, especially when partnered with champions who believe in us, is unlimited. 2. Daunting life challenges have within them the seeds of even greater victories. And 3, if we can learn to see the gifts, encouragement, and support around us, we will always have hope. I was truly inspired by my interview with Amit and Kumar Ramlal, and even more tickled to find out after the recording that they live in the same city as me, Edmonton, Alberta. If you loved this episode as much as I did, please share it with the world and do rate and review our podcast, Culture and Leadership Connections. Thank you for listening. And may culture and leadership connections continue to guide and inspire your day. Here's a review from Christian Hoefferle, who was a guest on Culture and Leadership Connections podcast, episode 9, near the beginning. He wrote, "Hello, my name is Christian Hoefferle, the owner of the company The Culture Mastery, and because of the work we do in cross-cultural training, coaching, and consulting, Marie has a real hand for curating the right guests. So go pick your favorite. Marie is quite good at eliciting information from her guests that they probably otherwise would not share as freely and as openly. So do yourself a favor, check out the Culture and Leadership Connections podcast with Marie Gervais." Thank you, Christian. That was very nice of you.